Good morning. It's Tuesday, April 16th, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show, our pre-Earth Day special Tuesday show with Phil Huff, your co-host, and Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Phil. No, I think I'm the co-host. You're the host.
Well, I think it's two co-hosts, but it's one of those big wide world join hands and celebrate things.
Especially this week.
You've been doing anything fun to get out and enjoy spring in preparation for Earth Day?
Phil, I don't know if you would call it Earth Day preparation, but I have been out fishing a little bit, and I was at an interesting sort of convention event in Boise the other day. I was at the State Council of Trout Unlimited learning about upcoming happenings with the state.
That's kind of getting ready for Earth Day. We looked at the yard and looked at all the debris and thought we need to do some raking and prep of the garden beds, and then went off to Spokane because it's about 2 weeks ahead in terms of springtime.
And it is a bit early. It's a bit wet out.
It's hard to believe. It's almost the end of April. Every April 22nd is celebrated as Earth Day. This is the 49th year. A lot of events will take place on the Saturday before. That's this coming. Some events are taking place the Saturday after. So it's really almost a week-long celebration, and that happens many years when it falls midweek. And I think we've got a couple shows here this week devoted to it. Ours today is going to explore what our local school is doing, Washington Elementary. But I think before we get into that, it's good to let listeners know a little bit about the history, those who might not have been around all 49 years. And in 1970, when Senator Gaylord envisioned Earth Day, he really reached out first to the universities and schools. And that's when the idea caught fire, if you will, and it became a large teach-in around the country. Instead of a sit-in, it was a teach-in. It was a day of learning and teaching and doing. And I remember my very first Earth Day. I was 10 when it was celebrated, and I didn't know all that going on at the time. What I knew was my dad said, let's get the canoe and let's go paddle down the river in eastern Massachusetts near where we lived, the Sudbury. We had some garbage bags, and we started filling garbage bags. And I didn't quite make the connection until a couple of years later that was April 22nd, 1970.
Wow, what an interesting introduction to Earth Day for you. Mine was much less interesting, just an event here and there at school, but it was still memorable, and it's only expanded since then, Earth Day.
I think it's a great experience to bring in for young people early. And why don't you introduce our guest today, Julie?
I would be happy to. Well, we are fortunate this morning to be joined by teacher Ann Dickinson from which elementary, Ann?
Washington Elementary School.
Yes, hello, Ann.
Hello.
And she's brought along with her two of her sixth graders, and we are joined by Peyton Pulhemus. Hello, Peyton.
Hello.
Nice to have you this morning. And her classmate, Gavin Miles. Good morning, Gavin.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us. So they're going to be talking to us about their Earth Day projects and a school project. And I'm going to let Anne begin by telling us about how the project that we'll be talking about came to you, how you got involved.
All right. So a few years ago, I found a program called Design for Change. It's an international program. It's in over 60 countries now. It's grown substantially since, 4 years ago when I actually started the project. Design for Change wants kids to look in their community, find problems, and they want them to solve those problems using the design thinking process, which is a really powerful problem-solving process. So it's kind of a double whammy. The kids are learning problem-solving, and they're getting involved in their community.
Okay.
And to do that, they first look at the global goals. So there's 17 goals that the United Nations set to achieve by 2030. And it's basically to create a sustainable world. And they look at things like poverty, hunger, infrastructure, and of course there's environmental goals. Mm-hmm. And this year's group was really intrigued by life on land, helping life on land, and life on water. And those are two goals, 13 and 14, for the UN Global Goals. And so that's how this whole project kind of came about, was looking at the global goals, that interest by the kids to really do something positive for our Earth and our environment. And we did a lot of research, looked at a lot of different things, and ultimately decided they really wanted to reduce plastics.
That's really cool. And I think, so many times when we think about what we can do individually, we naturally think locally because that's where we are. And also that's the piece that we can, pull off. But it all fits into this big global picture. And so tell us about the projects that were selected.
Well, one of you guys want to talk about the very first project, our big recycling project.
And this is Peyton.
This is Peyton.
So we decided to focus on plastics because plastics are a really huge problem in our Earth. And so we decided to have recycling. But before that, we came up with our motto, Start Local, Go Global, which means we have to start local before we can go global. So we decided to have recycling in our school.
Okay, and so I had a little note here, Design for Change, and then Start Local, Go Global. So you all made your motto. You invented that model.
Yes.
Nice. Okay.
So I want to follow up with a question about what kind of things you're recycling and how you're going about that. And
maybe Miles.
So in our school, we started a recycling project. So during lunch, we take 2 to 3 kids on shifts every day, and they teach kids how to recycle. Like, they show them what recycling you can use, and they help them recycle, like put the trash in the in the trash and recycling in the recycle.
And is it all plastics, or are you looking also at some of the waste material, the food material, or the paper material?
It's mainly all plastics, but we can recycle.
We can do aluminum foil. We can do cardboard. I think we can do cans also. The focus has been on the plastics, though, because that's a lot of what we see. I mean, we see a ton of that. You know, the straws, utensil, you know, all of those things. So, you know, their focus has been on plastics, but we do incorporate other things that we can.
Okay. And I want to back up just a little bit and ask you, you're a class of how many students? How large is the class, the sixth grade class? About.
The Design for Change class is 21 students. So we have 21 working on the project.
All right. And tell me a bit about the process of how you did come to settle on the recycling. Did you take a vote? What did you do?
So Ms. Dickinson has a poster in her classroom with all the 17 global goals that the United Nations want to achieve by 2030. And we all had a student come up, and then we all would raise our hands, like poverty. And the one that we found out had the most votes was the life on land and life below water. So we thought, what is affecting life on land and life on water to have these goals that the United Nations want to achieve? And we found out it was plastics polluting our Earth.
Mm-hmm. Neat. So democratic process, you settled on that and then went forward.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Right. And then there's a whole process involved with that, and it's the feel, imagine, do, share.
I don't know if,
Gavin, do you want to talk about kind of those stages, how that happens with the feel, imagine, do, and share?
So first, you kind of like feel, you know, you choose your thing and you feel it, you know, it's like, how is this affecting us? And you kind of make, you know, yourself more sad, you know, you're like, oh, wow, I really should help this out. And the imagine is like thinking, you know, what you could do to help. What can you do to help the problem that you guys are trying to solve? The do is like sharing it, kind of. And so you think of your solution, and you do it. You go out in your community, you do whatever you're going to do to help your problem, and then the share is you share it with the world. You hopefully can get it all around the world to help.
That's such a great lesson, too, that can apply to so many things. And you mentioned sharing it and getting it around the world. So how are you sharing it not only within the school but the community?
Well, Saturday we'll be a part of the Earth Day festival, and the kids have prepared several different things for the Earth Day festival. So you guys want to talk about what you guys have prepared?
So one group has prepared a play that Gavin is actually in about recycling and our environment, and then my group has made sort of like a TED Talk type speech that we're going to give, and then another group has come up with some games like cornhole and a relay race and about plastics, and all of them just have to do with our project and about plastics.
And that's all happening on Saturday.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Oh, nice. And Peyton did not mention her brochure that she made and slaved over and edited. And I hope people will come to our table and take Peyton's brochure, because she worked really, really hard on that.
This is radio, so you can't see the brochure, but it's really, really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And some of you are coming out on the radio, not just our show, but tell us about the advanced work that you're doing to share it.
So we've had one of our sixth graders actually wrote a radio ad for the Earth Day Festival, and then she and one of our second graders recorded that, and so that'll be on the radio starting today. We've also been on some other radio shows, again, talking about the Earth Day Festival and the project, so that's, you know, getting that out there. We were also in the newspaper. So again, and it's not just about, you know, this festival, but their whole education piece. You know, like the games are educating kids about what's recyclable. The information, the talks, this is their education piece. It's not only sharing, but it's also part of the do, because they want to educate people about plastics and what they can do to reduce them and recycle them.
That's right. Well, what I find interesting is that you're helping your class and these students understand that there's more to succeeding with a project than simply writing up a plan. And, you know, it takes marketing what you're doing, and it takes planning. It takes bringing people on board with emotion. You're doing it all. Say, I wonder if Gavin would tell us a bit about the play. Is it a one-act play? Is it a long play?
So the play that we're doing, it's all about, like, how the trash will affect the oceans and the lakes and the animals and me. So the parts in the play, so there's me, I'm a salmon.
Oh.
And then there's an ocean lady, a lake lady, and then a person. And so what it's all, so, like, it kind of starts out as, like, the person, you know, just, like, throwing the trash on the ground and not really caring. And then we are pretty much, like, convincing him, you know, like, these are all the stuff that happens when you do that. And then we kind of convince him, you know, he's like, okay, I should do that. And then we, like, kind of get to share. We share it with the world on it.
And so he's playing the earth. And who's playing water?
Aubrey Knowles and Taylor Meyer are playing the ocean and the lake.
Mm-hmm. And it was written by sixth graders, so they got to write the play. And it's funny because Peyton was there. I don't know if Gavin was there. When we were having this conversation, they were editing their TED Talk for, what, the 20th time, maybe? Mm-hmm. You know, we're adding in, thinking of new things, and we're editing this TED Talk. And when you're a teacher, you give kids a writing assignment, and you ask them to go edit it, and it's like, oh, I have to redo this? Really? Why? You know? But they were so happy, and they were like, okay, we're going to put this in. Okay, we need to print it off again. Now let's practice it. And I said, you guys, do you realize you're doing schoolwork? Do you even know that you're writing and you're editing? And they looked at me, and they said, but it's fun. It's so fun. So I think that's the gist of this. They're doing something, and they're doing it with a purpose, and that is what hooks them into making 20 edits.
The TED Talk will be live.
Yes, it'll be on stage.
Is it being recorded? Will we be able to see it on YouTube?
Well, we can probably do that. I do have a YouTube channel for Design for Change Projects at Washington, and then I also have a Twitter account. It's at AnnDickinson8, and so I do put things that they're doing on that Twitter account. And I've had snapshots of little things throughout the year. And in fact, they did a challenge Valentine's Day that I put on there that we're trying to see if people would actually take that challenge, which they will be bringing up at the Earth Day Festival to see if people will take the challenge.
Well, that's pretty neat. Well, this project has gone further than just Sandpoint. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's happened? You've completed it and things are going on.
So, yeah.
So there's a Design for Change Global Summit in Rome, Italy this November, and our team got represented.
Well, chosen.
Chosen to represent the United States in Rome.
Wow.
For our project.
Right.
And can I tell them about the
The recycling? Yeah, tell them what you did. So Peyton took this piece on all her own. So this is how I think our project is actually going to go global.
Okay, tell us.
So I emailed the CEO.
The founder, the director.
The director of Design for Change USA. And she sent my email to the
founder, Karan Seti.
Mm-hmm. And she said that we could have recycling at the Global Summit.
Oh, neat. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to make procedures of what kids have to do to recycle at the Global Summit.
All right.
That's really cool. That's when is that again?
November 27th through the 30th.
And how many students are going?
I don't know exactly yet. Probably between 4 to 7 is what I'm thinking. This summit is a little different than years past. So 2 years ago, my sixth graders at Washington were actually chosen as ambassadors to the Design for Change conference in Madrid, Spain. And generally what they do on any given year is they take one team from each country that's participating. But this year they're doing the largest global summit ever, and they're going to have 4,000 kids there. So they're actually asking for multiple teams from each country. So these guys will be one of like 200 kids from the United States that'll go.
That's really exciting, though.
It's it's very, very exciting. And the fact that Peyton thought of Mrs. Dickinson, are they going to recycle at the Global Summit? They should recycle. And I said, well, email. And now Karan actually emailed the founder of Design for Change, who's from India, actually emailed Peyton back and said, Peyton, will you take this on for us? What do kids need to know?
Wow.
And so that's what we're working on now.
Well, what's interesting to me about that is that events like this, Phil, they often do kind of forget recycling. We're used to doing it in our everyday lives, but events sometimes fall through a little hole, I would say.
Yeah, that's true. Events and workplaces. I mean, there's other places you can carry this through in our ordinary lives here more locally, too. And so hopefully that continues on. If that's going to be in the fall, then you're going to have to stay together as a team through the summer at least. Are you all coming back, or from sixth grade, or some of you going on to a different school?
Well, they'll be moving on to the middle school. But I told them, you know, since this project's been chosen, you're not going to get rid of your sixth grade teacher. You're going to have to be coming back, and we'll be working together.
So you have to redo part of sixth grade, which in this case isn't so bad.
They're never leaving, which is just fine, because I've got just an amazing group of kids. So I don't mind keeping them as long as I can.
That's amazing. I would like to know what our sixth graders think about what they've learned during this process. And let's ask Gavin. Gavin, what do you think has been, what have been your important lessons for as you work through this project with your classmates?
Probably like working as a team. Like, I wasn't really the best at that. And I joined DFC, Design for Change, and I became way better at that now. And I think another one is listening to each other, like getting ideas from other people. Because when we do our Socratic seminar, people, like, they would listen to each other. Like, they would figure out, you know, oh, this is what they think. I have some, you know, close to that.
Socratic seminar, what is that?
It's kind of like where everybody, you don't have to get in a circle, but everybody, like, groups up. And you just, like, talk about stuff. You have a, like, problem. And just everybody kind of talks about it. Like, you don't, there's no, like, raising hands. It's kind of like free time. You know, you're just like, no, I want to do this. And then you state why. And then someone else would say, like, yes or no and why. And it would just keep going until we finally made a decision.
The Socratic method.
Yes. Yeah, those ancient Greeks came up with everything. They asked the first questions, really tough ones, that are still resounding today.
That's right. It goes on and on.
Those are great skills to learn, and I think the idea that you can have an idea and feel empowered to carry it forward into the world, whatever it is, in this particular case, we're here to celebrate Earth Day, but that's a very valuable lesson to learn, too. It'll hopefully encourage you to speak up on other things.
Very much so.
So how many students, you said 21 are in the class?
Correct.
But this is reaching out to the rest of the school. How many are coming Saturday?
So we have kids from my sixth grade. We have a second grade class that's also doing a Design for Change project. And they chose to kind of take on food waste. And so they'll be there talking about their project. The second graders are, it's really fun to do this with second graders because they're very free thinking, you know, and they go big. They want to go big. So you got to kind of bring them back to earth a little bit when you do it. But they have a really great project in there. You know, really looking at the effects of having recess before kids eat lunch versus how we have it now, which is after. And in their research, they found that the food waste generally goes down if kids go to recess before lunch. So they are working with our principal and our school to try and make that change to reduce food waste in our cafeteria. And then we have a first grade Design for Change class that is recycling markers. Crayola has a program where they'll take used markers and you can send it to them and they will make it into great things. So if you have used markers, bring them to the Earth Day Festival because our first graders are collecting those to send and recycle.
That's incredible. So let's go over some of the basics in case people are listening and they want to come. The location on Saturday is?
Farman Park.
And what time will...
1 to 4.
Mm-hmm. 1 to 4. Mm-hmm. And do you have a schedule for some of the key things here, the play and the TED Talk?
The play and TED Talk are going to be within the first hour. I believe when we were speaking with Nancy that the play was going to be first. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And then there'll be something in between that, and then the TED Talk will happen, you know, after that. So within probably between 1 and 2, we'll have that. We'll have the games there. We have a recycle relay and some cornhole with water bottles. They came up with that. So the kids can come and play. It's going to be a very family-oriented family day, really geared towards kids.
And the games will be going on all from correct. 1 to 4.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It should be a really good turnout.
Right. And we'll also be selling our shirts. We have really cool Earth Day themed shirts with our the Start Local Go Global logo.
Are you modeling the shirt?
I am. I wish everybody could see
it's
it.
It's very
yes.
We can describe
nicely done.
As you might guess, the background color is green with
yes.
the blue representing water, and it's a
correct.
Very stylish, attractive design.
Yes, and it was designed by the sixth graders. We actually had one of our artists in residence. The kids, you know, made logos, and she helped them perfect it. And so the design and the logo, all of it is sixth grade done. So.
And do the proceeds benefit the program?
Yes, they're actually the money made from the T-shirt sales will help fund the trip to Rome, because we do have to fund that.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. And how are you going to fund it? I've heard about T-shirts, but what else?
Right. Well, we're working on it. We'll take donations right now. We are actually looking at May 29th, we are going to have a share night. Mm-hmm. And I'll have more information about that as we kind of get things firmed up. But we're looking at that as a potential fundraiser, mm-hmm. too. And for the share nights, as part of Design for Change, which is something I love about this program, the kids have to share their projects with the community and stakeholders. So this year, it looks like I'm going to be able to rent the Heartwood Center. And we'll be able to share all the Design for Change projects that have been happening throughout the district, because we have some other schools that have also been doing projects. So you'll see the Washington first graders and the second graders and the sixth graders, as well as some other projects that have occurred around the district. So it'll be a kid built program. They will, you know, write it and you know,
that sounds,
it'll be great.
That
so,
sounds really interesting.
Yeah. And when we get more information, I'll be sure and get that
so
out to everybody.
Two questions for both Gavin and Peyton. Are either of you learning Italian before you go to Rome? You have 6 months. A little bit.
My mom wants me to buy a book and learn Italian, because she says when you go to another country, you can't rely on them to be able to understand your language. You want to understand mm-hmm. their yes. language.
And by the way, we're looking at mom right
yeah.
now
yeah,
in
yeah.
the studio
who's blushing
and
a little bit.
Dad.
It's very good advice. Even if you only learn a few words, those mm-hmm. people who do speak English will feel more comfortable speaking their fractured English if they know you have a few words of Italian. So it's a way of encouraging dialogue.
Yeah, she wants me to learn, like, the important words, like, where's the food, where's...
food is good, yes.
Where's the restroom, where's...
Yeah.
yeah.
Those are important idea. Things.
Yeah.
And how about Gavin? Are you thinking about Italian?
I don't know, really. I haven't really been thinking about it quite as much. I've been more focusing on, like, Earth Day.
Yeah.
I haven't really been thinking about, if I do get selected, what am I going to do?
There'll be time after Saturday to think more about
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what's been your favorite part so far of all of this. And we'll start with Gavin.
My favorite part is probably the design thinking, you know, where mm-hmm. we have done, you know, our thinking, or feel, imagine, do, share. You mm-hmm. know, like we feel it, we imagine it, then we do it. And I'm waiting for the do, and I'm waiting for the share.
Mm-hmm. You're a doer and a sharer.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Oh, yeah.
And how about Peyton? What have been your favorite parts or part?
My favorite parts probably this towards the end, because when I first started Design for Change, some of the kids in the class I didn't even know had these great ideas, and half of the kids in the class that I didn't know had great ideas came up with awesome ideas that we are now using on our Earth Day celebration and many more projects that we're doing.
It's the power of working together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As we wrap up, are there things we haven't asked you want to tell our audience before we go?
You know, the biggest thing I think for me is that, you know, this is our future generation, and they're going to be leading change. And there's examples you see all the time, you know, in the news and stuff of kids doing wonderful things to help communities, our earth, you know, whatever. And I think we've got it going on here in Sandpoint, you know, with this program, with Design for Change, with the kids we have. We've got kids that are doing things locally that are pretty amazing and are going to make a difference. So, you know, hats off to the kids. They, you know, they really, when you give them the opportunity and kind of the means and let them go, they'll do it.
And hats off to the teachers that bring them the opportunities. Yeah. Hats off to you, Ann Dickinson.
Thank you.
Let's not forget the parents. Yes. Not only because they're in the room, but really they have a large impact on shaping behavior and modeling good behavior. And it's just wonderful to have that sense of community. Mm-hmm. And it's a great thing that community radio can bring community together. And it makes me really happy to have shows like this. So thank you all for coming in today.
Thank you.
That's right. And once again, it's this Saturday in Farm and Park.
Correct.
So if you're just tuning in, we will be podcasting this. You can listen to the rest of the interview online later today. But we've been talking this morning on our Earth Day Tuesday show with Ann Dickinson from Washington Elementary and two of her students, Gavin and Peyton, about Earth Day projects. Come out Saturday at Farm and Park from 1 to 4, and you can see more, including a play and TED Talk. We're going to take a short music break, and then we're going to be back with the second half of our Earth Day show. Sharon Bosley from the Lake Pondere Waterkeepers. We're going to be talking about the Shake Out the Sand event. But I thought we'd take a short break here, so we're going to have to do a quick switch with a song inspired by the first Earth Day. It came out in 1971, a little earlier than a few people in the room, but you might all recognize it. And we'll just play it. So enjoy, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes. The New Seekers, I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing. Some might recognize it from the Coca-Cola commercial, but it was actually on the very first album I ever bought with, I was going to say my own money, my allowance money.
Your own money, that's right.
Welcome back. This is KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. This is the Tuesday morning show with Phil Huff and Julie Calamine. Today we're doing our Earth Day special. We just had a fabulous first half with two lovely students from Washington Elementary School and their teacher, Ann Dickinson, Gavin and Peyton, and lots of fun stuff they're doing on Saturday at Farm and Park.
The Sandpoint kids continue to impress me, Phil. Those kids are going to go to Rome.
Amazing. I know. And represent the entire U.S.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And now we have Sharon Bosley from the Lake Pondere Waterkeepers here to talk about their Earth Day event. But before we get to that, Sharon, most of our listeners will be somewhat familiar with the Lake Pondere Waterkeepers, but it always amazes me how many first-time listeners we get feedback from. So just give us a brief overview of the organization.
Well, Lake Pondere Waterkeeper is part of the International Waterkeeper Alliance, and our mission is to ensure that Lake Pondere remains swimmable, fishable, and drinkable. And we do that through community engagement, advocacy, and education. And this year, we are celebrating our 10th anniversary, Protecting the Watershed.
Excellent. Right on.
And you're relatively new to the Waterkeepers in the community. Tell us a little bit about your background yourself.
Well, I'm actually from Coeur d'Alene, and I've been involved with environmental nonprofit work for, gosh, maybe 9 years plus now through volunteering. And then I was actually executive director of Kootenai Environmental Alliance and the Lake Coeur d'Alene Waterkeeper as well. So I just enjoy working to protect our local environment.
Yeah, and a big shout out. KEA has been the lead on the Coeur d'Alene Earth Day for some time now, which is celebrated on the 28th, the week after this one. 28th, yeah,
yep,
Sunday.
Next Sunday.
So looking forward to that. That's always, you can do both Earth Day events in Sandpoint next coming weekend and the one following in Coeur d'Alene.
Yes.
The Waterkeepers have traditionally put on a cleanup event on Earth Day. Tell us about that.
Well, traditionally we go out and bring the community to do some shoreline cleanups. So we walk, start at City Beach. We will be meeting at the Beach Hut at 10 a.m. Evans Brothers will be providing some wonderful coffee to warm you up, and we'll have some donuts to fuel you, and we'll send you on your way. The city is providing the garbage pickup, so they will take the garbage away for us, and we will also be providing a separate bag so you can collect recyclables, and we hope to recycle this year as well. So it should be a great event, and I've seen plenty of garbage along Sand Creeks, especially. So hopefully we'll pick up a lot in our watershed.
And do people need to sign up in advance, or can they just show up?
Just show up, but we will have a sign-up sheet. We want to make sure we keep track of everybody and don't leave somebody mm-hmm. out there still collecting without being aware they're out there. So we'll have a check-in point, and we'll have you check out as well.
Okay, and one more time, the time and location to meet up at.
Okay, 10 a.m. this coming Saturday at the City Beach Hut, which is close to the boat ramp okay. at City Beach.
I from time to time walk the trail along Sand Creek, and it does get pretty full of garbage, basically. Yeah. How far do you intend to go up Sand Creek?
Well, you know, I think we'll go as long as people are finding garbage. I'm sure you're aware where our office is, right over here by the bridge, Bridge Street, and I've walked along there, and there's garbage clear up there. I mean, with the water down right now, you could probably get in. If you have some nice, you know, mud boots, you could walk down the shore of Sand Creek quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we might try to call it around noon, but if people are still picking up, you know, we'll stick around until we clean up a good portion of our watershed.
Yeah, I can tell you from past experience, both doing and not doing this, you know, bring some nice mud boots, at least those that go knee high, because you'll sink down. And there's a lot of treasures to be found around the marina area when water is down.
True. And in addition to really waterproof boots, Sharon, what else might a person want to bring for this event?
Well, we will be providing gloves, but if you have your own gardening gloves, that'll save the, you know, we're going to have just nitrile gloves, so they'll be disposed of after. So if you do have some nice, you know, rubber-lined gardening gloves, that would be wonderful. It looks like it's going to be a nice day, so I don't know that you'll need any rain gear, but other than that, we won't be providing any little, handheld picker upper thing. So if you have something like that that you just don't want to bend over, we will be providing some reusable like plastic containers in case you come across any glass or syringes or anything you don't want to poke through the bag. So hopefully we'll have most everything you need for the event. Just show up.
We're not really quite used to this big yellow orb that's coming out today, but a lot of years you'd be well advised to bring a broad brimmed hat, some sunglasses, especially the reflective off the water, some sunscreen. We have to actually start thinking about our summer get up and gear.
Yes, oh, yeah. We do.
Definitely.
Sharon, as a participant in Adopt a Highway, I always feel good about cleaning up for Adopt a Highway, and there will be a KRFY one coming and numerous others. But when thinking about cleaning up Sand Creek, I think it may have greater implications than some of the highway cleanup. Birds, wildlife, people are interacting on Sand Creek. It's an important place to get cleaned up.
Oh, definitely. And I've seen a lot of plastic down there, and that can just break down, and wildlife can eat it. And in turn, if you fish, you could end up eating it as well. So, sure. We clean up as much as we can.
Well, City Beach and Sand Creek are really our front yard, our front forward face to the rest of the world. So important.
Yes, true. Definitely.
Tell us about, this isn't the only work the waterkeepers do with Sand Creek. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about the other stuff that goes on year-round, as Earth Day is not just for one day a year.
Yeah, well, it does kind of start the season, I have to say. But we will be starting our 8th year of water quality monitoring program with our citizen scientists. We actually will be having our training tomorrow at 5 p.m. at our office. So if you're interested in finding out more, we will have a brief orientation before the training at 4:30 if you'd like to learn more about the program. We go out and monitor 15 sites on the lake for water quality parameters. And we've been doing it now. This will be the 8th season. So it's a really a very robust data set that we're collecting so we can help continually monitor the water quality of the lake.
And so tell us about the things you're looking for in your monitoring and tracking.
Well, you know, we look for basics, pH and temperature, transparency, and then we also look for nutrient levels like phosphorus and nitrogen. So just different parameters that will give us an indication if things start to go askew, we can follow up and try to determine the source of what could be causing the problem.
Sure.
Now, in addition to the lake water quality monitoring, which, again, you've been doing for 8 years, the last couple of years, the water keepers have focused on some stormwater drain runoff work.
Yes, and this is the season to be checking. We've been checking some spots this season, and we've come across some interesting information from our storm drain monitoring.
And I'm guessing interesting isn't necessarily good.
Yeah.
Not in this case, probably. Yeah.
We are finding a spot in our community that is consistently producing a chemical that was used in wood preservation. And so we're working with DEQ to let them know that this is an issue. In turn, though, we also need to establish a quality assurance plan for our monitoring program so they can more confidently use our data. So going forward, we'll be working to create that and working with DEQ to source this problem.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, good, because if we don't know about these things, we can't take care of it. We can all be just living with it and not be aware.
Exactly. At this point, that work's concentrated around the stormwater from the city of Sandpoint, so Sand Correct. Creek and anywhere else besides Sand Creek?
Well, we just it's kind of costly. What we try to do is do a really thorough data set looking for different parameters initially to narrow down what could be of concern. So each testing, each sampling is about $600. So we're slowly but steadily working on collecting when we can, but it takes money, and we are a nonprofit, so we can only do what we can afford. So hopefully we'll find some supporters who might be interested in supporting that with
Good, and good to know that it is expanding, although costly. Mm-hmm. Another event I recall, because I helped one year, and I think this was you all, was more related to invasive species, the flowering rush situation. Was that you? What was that? Waterkeeper, Phil?
Mm-hmm.
Cleans out flowering rush in the area.
Yeah, that actually, invasive species was really what started our organization to begin with, and we advocate for more natural ways to remove these invasives. A lot of times the chemicals aren't really as effective as you would hope, and so we worked with the city to establish the hand pulling that's down at City Beach. So we will continue to work with them and the Idaho Department of Agriculture to just try to limit the amount of chemicals that get put into the lake if possible.
So will there be any focused effort to pull weeds on Saturday?
No, not Saturday. Okay. That's just going to be strictly garbage, but I can foresee that maybe being a future event going down the road.
Well, speaking of future events, before we run out of time, are there other events coming up on your calendar that you'd like to tell people about?
I would, actually. Our good friends at Evans Brothers have made a Lake Lovers coffee blend that $2 per bag will be donated to Lake Pondere Waterkeeper.
Wow.
So if you are in need of some coffee, it's a delicious blend, and it's for a good cause. And they also will be hosting us on April 24th, that's a Wednesday, for their coffee for a cause. 15% of the proceeds that day at the Sandpoint Evans Brothers will be donated to Lake Pondere Waterkeeper. So, again, if you are in the mood for coffee, that'd be a good day to join the rest of us. And then we do have another event on June 4th. It's a Tuesday. We will have the Delaware Riverkeeper, Maya Van Rossum. She will be here to at Eckhart starting at 5:30 p.m. to talk about her new book, The Green Amendment. And that's has some ideas for new tools for environmental preservation. And she's a very well-renowned environmental lawyer, and we're excited to have her.
And that's what day again?
That is Tuesday, June 4th.
Tuesday, June 4th.
Yeah. Okay.
So before we go, I want to just circle back a little bit to the water quality monitoring. After 8 years, are you seeing any trends in the results?
Well, we did see one. It was actually a couple years back. We had a nutrient trend in Boyer Slough that we worked with DEQ, and they're still working on sourcing that problem. But we caught it relatively quickly, and they quickly followed up. I know that I end up going to different meetings at DEQ, and they're still working on collecting data, and they follow up on what we've come up with. So,
and what is the nutrient?
It was a phosphorus trend. Okay. So it was high phosphorus, which can cause, you know, a lot of algae growth and really can kind of mess with the water chemistry.
That's right.
Well, we're about running out of time. Any last minute thoughts for the listeners?
No, I just hope that you all can come out and join us this coming Saturday to love your mother.
One more good way to celebrate Earth Day. There's so many things going on. We're going to come back with a little bit of community calendar and talk about some of the Earth Day events coming up. For right now, we're going to take a short music break. If you're just tuning in, though, this is 88.5 KRFY Pondere, listener-supported community radio from North Idaho. And we will be podcasting this show as we do all shows. So if you missed any of the two interviews, welcome to come online and hear more. We're just wrapping up with Sharon Bosley from the Lake Pondere Waterkeepers, talking about their Shake Out the Sand Creek Earth Day event.
On Saturday.
And earlier we listened to Ann Dickinson and her students, Gavin and Peyton from Washington Elementary, talking about their Earth Day projects, which you'll be able to see more of their play and TED Talk also on Saturday, 1 to 4 at Farman Park.
Boy, that's going to be a busy day, Phil. A lot going on for Earth Day on Saturday.
Going to be a busy day, and it's a busy week coming up, as you're going to see soon. Right now, we're going to take, again, a short music break and listen to a little bit of Jack Gladstone's Tapping the Earth Backbone, the title.